BBC Radio 3. Well, now Michael Ormiston introduces the second programme in a series featuring the music of Siberia, The Whispering of the Stars.
The southern Siberian Republic of Tuva is situated at the crossroads of the Central Asian steppes and what is known as the tundra and the taiga to the north. This is Tuvan singer Albert Kuvezin. Albert Kuvezin represents a new wave of Tuvan Hume or overtone singers who are writing their own songs using both traditional instruments like the igal as well as the electric guitar. That song is about a shepherd boy and his relationship with his family. It will be interesting to see where this type of throat metal goes. Traditional Hume will almost certainly survive as many of the younger singers are now learning by tuning in to Tuvan radio or TV. Shakhtar Shulvan, who was 11 when this was recorded, did just that.
Ri
Women were discouraged from singing Hume during the Soviet era, but are now learning again. Bilchi Mardawa is one of the last of the previous generation who are now free to pass on their lullaby style. Like Albert Kvesin, Sangho Namchalak used to sing for the Tuvan State Ensemble. She is a remarkable singer who has performed in traditional, classical, and free improvisational groups all over the world. In the song we've just heard, her Tuvan guttural and animal imitation roots mix perfectly in a multi-tracked improvisation. This would not sound out of place in shaman rituals or at a festival of experimental music. It is believed that women in Tuva have long played the humus, or Jew's harp. Ethnomusicologist Carol Pegg.
In pre-communist times, instruments were gender-specific. That is to say that only men would play horsehead fiddle, only men would sing really difficult long songs. And it's possible that the Jew's harp was a woman's instrument. It's not entirely clear, because now both men and women play all of these instruments.
Various wooden, bamboo and metal humus played by Gennady Tumat and friends. Travelling north of Tuva, you enter Siberia's tundra and taiga. The tundra is the fragile steppe land which is the grazing grounds for reindeer, while the taiga includes the largest forested area in the world, cut by wide rivers draining into the Arctic Ocean. music from the Tungus group of people. The long hollowed kiyunki reed horn is used to call the reindeers in. It is played by moistening the end and then sucking. Dr. Piers Vitebsky of the Scott Polar Institute at Cambridge University knows the tribal peoples of Siberia well.
In the whole of Siberia, depending on your classification, there are maybe 25 or 30 different ethnic groups. And what's interesting about Tungus people is how very thinly spread they are over an area of thousands of miles. They're probably the most dispersed of all indigenous peoples. They go all the way from western Siberia over the border into China. And they have always lived, it seems, in these tiny, tiny groups, hunting over enormous distances. The Tungus speak a language related to Manchu in Manchuria. And shaman is a word from their language, which they've given to the rest of the world.
Shamanism plays an important part in the lives of the Tungus people. Here's part of a shaman ritual.
Shaman or Haman means a particular type of religious practitioner, a person who does this. And what is it that a shaman does? He or she goes into trance and travels to upper worlds or underworlds on a soul journey in order to meet the spirits there, to negotiate with them, usually to sort out some problem in the realm of the living, a sickness or a shortage of animals or something like that. It's not a personal mystical trip at all, as people in the West sometimes think. It's a community servant. The drum is one of the primary attributes of a shaman, and the other one is a costume. And this seems pretty universal throughout Siberian native peoples. So that today, in this spirit of shamanic revival, if somebody says, oh, you know, so-and-so's a real shaman, the answer is, ah, yes, but has he got a real costume and has he got a real drum? And these are taken as the material signs of the shaman's license to practice, so to speak. And they're very often passed down, they're inherited under very carefully controlled conditions. The drums have a lot of symbolic meaning, as you can imagine. In some areas, they have cosmological designs all over them. It's often said that the drum is like a kind of horse or a reindeer that the shaman actually uses to ride up to the sky when he or she flies. A drum can also be used in a kind of scooping motion to sweep spirits up out of the air. Because spirits are insubstantial, they don't have a shape, they're just free-floating in the air. And in order to bring them into a context when you can use them, you can harness them, you can talk to them or make them talk, you need to contain them in some way.
Piers Vitebski of the Scott Polar Institute. One of the Tungus groups is called the Ulch. Their songs reflect their occupations of fishing and hunting. The Ulch use wooden sticks called ujapupu to beat out rhythms during festival dances. This one is called Love Holiday and is sung by the Giva Folk Ensemble. The jar is a bull roarer. The flat-pointed wing-shaped piece of wood with a long string attached to it is whirled around in the air to make a low buzzing sound. It is usually played only by men, and in this recording is accompanied by a quartet of key and key horns. Music from the Ulch. I'm Michael Ormiston, and we close today with a song from the Nivke people who live alongside the Tungus. The Nivkhe belong to an isolated Siberian language group. They play a single-string bowed instrument called a tigrin. This song about the cuckoo is mainly played on two pitches, but listen out for the changes in harmonics. Next week, the music of Siberia's Russian exiles and their indigenous neighbours.
The Whispering of the Stars is a Heavy Entertainment production for BBC Radio 3.